Good evening, everyone, across the BBSRadio.com world. This is Marty Ford on You About Ready, the station, BBSRadio.com, the show, You About Ready, and me, Marty Ford, from the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawas Station. It is You About Ready, the show that will empower you, enlighten you, enrich you, and make you a better person, capable and able to accomplish more than you ever thought possible. We always want to start everything with a little critical thinking to get your brains going. Because the more you think, the better you are. The more you reason and rationalize and make sense of this craziness around us we call our world. You know, the aliens are out there somewhere, and they are probably laughing their brains off. Because when they take a look around and see all the stuff we do or not do or destroy, including human life, in addition to nature, they got to be saying, oh, wow, they're nuts down there. And we really are. Because you remember, being crazy keeps you from going insane. And it's just a state of mind anyway. So let's get started with some brain busters. And we want to review last week's brain buster, if I can find it. And I can't remember what it is. So I'll give you this week's brain buster. This week's brain buster. Name a candy bar that has two pronouns in it. Name a candy bar that has two pronouns in it. And that is this week's critical thinking brain buster. And if you come up with the answer, give us a call at bbsradio.com. I'll find the number here in a minute because I am so organized. It is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. So name a candy bar that has two pronouns in it. And call in because I'm tired of talking to myself. It'd be nice to have some people call in and share this wonderful hour of power before you shower and go to bed on the East Coast or eat dinner on the West Coast and anything in between in the middle of the country to enjoy some time and get some critical thinking going. We just had an airport experience. And it's like, what's going on with the airports? It used to be fun, right? It used to be an adventure. It used to be pleasure. It used to be exciting and thrilling and exhilarating. Of course, the greatest part is takeoff and landing. And the easiest part of the flight is when the airplane is airborne, right? Unless you have some turbulence and, you know, disruptions up there, some crazy person up there trying to use a cell phone or smoke in the bathroom or some other illegal venture. All in all, I can even tolerate the screaming babies. In fact, I invite them. You know, people get upset with them, but you know what? A screaming kid is a beautiful thing. Just hold them, play with them, make some silly faces. Be a kid yourself, and the kid will be fine. When you start zhuzhing them and shushing them and telling them all, giving them these commanding instructions, they have no idea what you're doing. Give them a smile, laugh, and you'll laugh too, and you'll be happy. You'll be a better person. So anyway, what's with this? Is there anybody out there? Please try to find somebody who has been in the country for more than maybe 2 years, right? 3 years, who doesn't know how to use a seatbelt. Is there anyone out there who doesn't know how to do it? If you're an alien and you've not been in our planet or in our world for a long time, maybe you don't. I happen to think you guys out there probably invented it. But they just go on and on about the safety and the seatbelt and the exit ways and the thing to put the oxygen on, which is a good thing, and the seat as a flotation device and everything. But sometimes it's enough is enough. I like the in-person people to do it, not some movie with the corporate guy who never flies commercial, goes on a private jet. Again, telling us what to do that they don't do themselves. Sort of like politicians who don't serve in the military, right? Those guys. Sort of like politicians who are getting paid while the rest of the country is not, right? Whether they're going to get retroactive money. You know, these folks, they just sit there and badger, harass, insult each other in public. But after the work is done and the cameras go off and they're not being secretly taped on microphone by a microphone or a camera, you know, they go out and have dinner and we pay for it. And they go to the hotel and get some biological pleasure and enlightenment through various resources, depending on their preferences and desires. And we pay for that, too. So what's going on? It's almost like unemployment. And you made them feel guilty that you're taking your money that we pay. So I have no idea what's going on, but let's try to get things even. Let's try to have people who are telling us things to do actually provide the leadership and do it themselves. Wouldn't it be great if some of the leaders out there got on there and said, well, we're not going to take a pay check until everyone gets a paycheck. That's true leadership, not people badgering each other, ranting and raving and screaming and yelling and disagreeing and agreeing and having their $4 cup of coffee that we're paying for and having meals that we're paying for and healthcare that we're paying for. By the way, let's again talk about national healthcare. It is my creation that we can have a health plan for everybody, healthcare for everybody in the country who's of age and legal, right? The infrastructure's there. I mentioned it on two or three shows in the past, and it's worth mentioning again because I don't think we have a solution in sight that is that anyone understands. And my way is so simple, it's probably why they're not doing it. You know, simple works best, which is why most kids and most people get along with me because they like the simple things in life. But we do have a plan with an infrastructure of Medicare and Medicaid in place. Just have to clean it up, get rid of the cheating, the fraud, the scandal, the corruption, the bribes, et cetera, and put people out of business who are ripping the government, us, off by setting up a storefront or billing, having invoices set in for services not rendered and getting paid for it. What are we doing? Are we that stupid that we can give away our money like that? And who's managing it? You know, money should be managed like it's your own. Have some accountability and responsibility. But we do have a way to raise enough money to pay for national health care and to also make it affordable for everybody as well by instituting a national health care lottery, the two-year life lottery system. It's a registration thing. There are numbers in place that explain it rather simply. If you'd like to know more about it, call in to bbsradio.com right here at 888-627-6008 or send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com. Hamp, H-A-M-P, 73@gmail.com. Back to the airport experience. So now that we've got the seatbelt situation resolved, you know, have a refresher course while we're in the terminal waiting instead of having, what's her name, in the morning screaming at us with all the news we do not need to know at airports all over the country on multiple electronic boxes. We just don't need this. It's not news, and we don't have to worry about it. We don't need it. We need information that's helpful. Safety information is good. I agree, but there's a time and a place for everything, and change is good. Now, with loading and unloading the plane, they used to do it with back the airplane first by rows, you know, 30 to 34, 25 to 29, et cetera, et cetera, all the way up to the top. Last week, we're in an airplane, I've experienced it before where they have zones. You're in zone one, zone two, zone three. No one's in the red zone because nobody scores on an airplane, unless you remember the Mile High Club, and I don't know anybody who ever has been. And it must be tight quarters in there, and maybe I'm too big to make accommodations. I'm probably too scared to try because with all the heat I generate, baby, that smoke alarm's going off, and we're going down. The marshals will be there in a minute. But to load and unload passenger. One time, we were in Florida with the kids, and we were coming back from a school tournament. I think it was in Orlando at Disney. And there was we had a delay. Finally, we got clearance to take off, but we had to load the plane in about 22 minutes. The pilot came on, or the announcement was made, and we were all laying out in the terminal for 2 or 3 hours, and the parents are drinking at the bar, and their kids are watching them, and the parents are starting to misbehave, and the kids are embarrassed, and that happens a lot. So bad role modeling, once again, for kids, is right in their faces. Anyway, the flight attendant, I don't know what they're called anymore, the staff, whatever airline it was, the staff came on and said, we have 22 minutes to load the plane, seated, seatbelts, and ready to go. And you know what? Or if not, we were going to be stranded another 3 to 4 hours because another storm was coming in that would have shut down the airports up north. So everybody put their best efforts out. And in 18 minutes, we were loaded, seated, bags were all stowed away. Even the guy who brings the Buick and the microwave oven and the refrigerator for the above the storage compartment. It's funny when they try to store golf clubs underneath the seat. I don't understand that. But we were out in 18 minutes, ready to go, taxiing back. We took off. We made it out. So it can be done if you put yourself to the test. Thank you, Madonna. Don't settle for second best. Put yourself to the test. And we were put to the test and we did it. People were cooperative. They were helping each other put their bags up top and below, and hustling in and out of aisles of seats to, so that if the center and the aisle seat guy was in, the window seat guy, boom, either climbed over, the other two got out, and we were gone up and happy about it. So instead of a 8-hour delay or so, we were only delayed for 2 or 3 hours, which wasn't too bad. So the way to do it, because you can't have people hustling, because you might hurt somebody's feelings and they might not like it and you might get sued and have poor behavior and anger management and air rage or whatever else goes on in crazy society. Those aliens are watching, by the way, and they're taking notes. And I'm telling you, they're laughing all the way to the nut house where we all belong. So let's make use of the baggage handlers or the flight attendants. And one by one, out in the terminal at the gate, wherever gate you are, we load one by one by the back of the plane to the front of the plane. So everybody has a fair shot at getting their stuff in the overhead compartments, because now that airlines charge so much money for checking bags, everyone's loading up as much as they can and cramming these bags into spaces that are getting tighter and tighter and being able to handle less and less. In fact, my wife and I were in zone 3 the other day, and we got checked out. So we had to check our baggage, which cost us another half hour, 40 minutes at the airport, making us somewhat late and delayed to our destination. Annoying and frustrating, but of course, once we got to the destination, we forgot about it, which is what they rely on. One time, my wife and I were in one of these big department stores that's no longer in existence, because we met at lunchtime. She went from her office and I went from mine. We met, it was halfway at the store. They were having a shirt sale for the kids. They were, instead of $9, they were $2, I think. So we went over and we got a whole bunch. We got like 10 of them, no limit at the time. We got 10 of them. We checked out, and sure enough, the register rang them up at the non-sale price. So I think $10 a piece or whatever it was, whatever I just said. And it wasn't $2. So we asked the cashier, please, to void that and redo it. Oh, I can't do that. You have to go to customer service. Now we're on a one-hour lunch break. There's 15 people ahead of us at customer service. And finally we said, you know, we really want these shirts because the kids like them and they fit well and they wear well and they're durable. We said, the heck with it. We ate the money and got back to work on time so we didn't lose pay. So some of that's built in, like obsolescence in products. You know, when the day the warranty goes out, chances are things are going to happen. So we can take flight attendants or baggage handlers or a combination of both and put them out in the terminal and load one by one from the back of the plane, everybody in. No, one person at a time to your seat. The flight attendants or the baggage handlers will take your bags. They'll be stationed in the airplane, and one by one we'll load, and they'll load it up, load the luggage on into the compartment. You get in your seat, boom, we're ready to go. Probably in 10 minutes, the plane is loaded, everything's put away, ready to go. When you land, same thing. Flight attendants, baggage handlers come on the plane, and we unload the plane in the same manner. One by one, out. Nobody, because people in row 7, for some reason, get their bags checked, or not checked, but put in row 14 in the overhead compartments, while people in row 32 put their bags in row 7's compartment. And it makes for an awkward delay. And everybody's frustrated and just wants to get the heck out of that airplane to get to their second destination, which is the bathroom, and then their final destination, wherever they're going. So let's try to make some efficiency out of there. So we have to hire some of the engineers and time and motion study guys to get their clickers out there and count and watch and practice. And with a little bit of practice and training and some hustle, people don't hustle anymore. You know, we don't have a sense of urgency to get things done unless it's absolutely the last, oh, I forgot and I got to get it done. But as far as hustling, you know, we were kids, we hustled everything. My brother and I mowed our lawn. We moved to a single home. My parents decided to make the move from the row home to the single home with a little piece of a postage stamp lot. And we had a walk-behind push mower, and we cut our grass. And the next week, the neighbor wanted his cut, and the other neighbor across the street, and so on and so on. And I think there were about maybe 50 or 70 houses in the development. And my brother and I must have had 3/4 of them as customers. Pop went to Sears, bought a Toro power mower, and we were in business. And the same customers whose lawns we cut called us in the winter and said, hey, shovel our snow, clean off the car, right? Clean off the patio, do the walkway, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, we always gave the best customer service. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Anything else we can do for you? And those are little tidbits that you learn, life lessons, not only about life lessons, but business lessons, how to create and build a business simply by servicing the customer. You know, so we had those customers for cutting lawns. Today it's called landscaping, and we shovel their snow, which today it's called snow plowing, right? I don't think there's any kids out there that I've seen who actually do it as a business. Once in a while you get a kid who'll cut the neighbor's lawn with a neighbor's mower if they have one. Usually it's the landscapers who cut the lawns, and then same guys put a plow in the truck and move the snow when it gets into deep in winter. So we don't hustle. My brother and I hustled everything, and we had money. We had a paper route, right? We started with 52 customers in September 1961. Yes, we're that old. And by that Christmas, we built the business, mainly my brother, who's a little older than me, and he had more savvy out there. I was just young and stupid. Still am, but now I'm old and stupid. He built a business by Christmas of 1961, 3.5 months later, to 74 customers, and we got $154 in Christmas tips, 1961, unprecedented. The newspaper office sent their manager to our house with a gift of some kind. I think it was one of those multi-Swiss Army knife contraption things for each of us, and it made our parents proud that we were able to do that, and the company appreciated it. So, and we didn't do anything special. You know, we just serviced the customers. If they said put it in the mailbox, we put it in the mailbox. If they said don't fold it, we stuck it under the mat or in the door. We put it in the plastic bag if it was about to rain. We collected on Friday, but if you don't want us to collect on Friday, you told us to come Saturday, we came Saturday, right? And they all paid on time, and we made tips. By the way, if you recall from a previous show, the word TIPS, T-I-P-S, is an acronym. It means to ensure proper service. The better the service, the better the tip. We gave good service in all the things we did, and we both made a lot of money for back in those days, and we were able to do things for ourselves and our family, which was wonderful. But I don't see that urgency today. I really don't. A lot of people want things handed to them, as is the case with entitlements and handouts and so forth. And I think it starts with a lot of parents spoiling their kids and by giving them everything instead of saying, you know, come out and get a part-time job. You can shut down the Xbox and the TV and the movies and everything else you watch electronically and do electronically and every social media and so forth. Go out, instead of spending 5 hours on the sofa, go out and spend 5 hours making a few bucks. And you'll feel better because it's yours. You know, when you make your bed and take out the trash and vacuum the rug and wash the window and you do it, put away your clothes and all, you feel good at night when you come home and take a look around that room and say, I did that. You're empowered. You don't have anybody doing it for you. That's the way we have to raise our people, our kids. We have to send them to school prepared, knowing their ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, numbers, shapes, and colors, etc. And then the teacher can take them onward and upward into the world of academics and learning, where it can be fun, instead of struggling with kids who haven't had that foundation laid for them and put in place by families who would rather do things other than nurture their kids and their education. You know, kids are curious and kids are aware. They want to learn. It's we that shut them off by putting on movies and tapes and cell phones and Xbox and all that, by just so we can sit and socialize and talk about nothing of importance when our kids are sitting there looking at the electronic box and not learning anything, unless they're watching the educational shows, which some of them are pretty good for ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, etc., etc. And I think the reason that the seatbelt thing in the airport has to be done is for insurance purposes, just like the reason that schools are not open when the school is out, open to the public. It's for insurance purposes, so someone doesn't get hurt and sue the school, right? Because we're irresponsible people and can't take care of ourselves. And if something happens, we want somebody else to pay for our pain and suffering and misery and foolishness and stupidity, right? That's what we want done. And that's why schools, the buildings are not utilized to the highest and best use, full potential. And again, all it does is rob the kids of opportunities, especially in the summer when it's raining and you can go inside and do things, or during the week at night. Even parents can use the schools. You know, we talked about this before, so I don't want to go into too much detail about it, but you can set the school up for different things for parents to do, whether it's athletics, academics, hobbies, art, music, dance, research, et cetera, et cetera. But it would take a lot of guts on a part of the school leadership to do that. And once again, the insurance and the lawyers will get in the way and probably make it prohibitive for the townsfolk who really own the school with their taxes to do. And that's a shame because it's just a waste of a great utility. I guess if there was money to be made on it, we would do that. I was talking last week. Oh, I tell you, so on the trip down to Alabama, we had some good old times with some good old boys and sweet little old boogers. That's what we were doing. I ran into my friend Monroe Devro, and he was telling me about, and also his wife, Charlene from Colorado. They were down there, and they had an exhibit. We went to a state fair where they had the Midway rides and all the other games and activities and foods. Alligator, even fried alligator. You got to try it, you know, a little bit when you're in country. You got to go with the locals and see what they have to offer, because a lot of it's good. So we met Mrs. Monroe Devro. They drive all over the country because they go to these state fairs or county fairs and set up shop, not with a midway ride or game, but with an animal exhibit, and they have exotic animals. And we went. We had a couple kids with us who were much older than high school kids, but they had fun. They actually had fun. They went on the rides and they were yelling and screaming and laughing and just enjoying themselves. And when we got back home at night, they liked it. And we also had a lot of belly laughs because we got silly, because the seriousness of postgraduate college work is intense. And you have to have a little kid in you. You have to paint your face. You must laugh. You must go do things that you enjoy doing that give you pleasure, and some of them help you relive your past. Not just watching another Disney video, which is fine, but getting out, getting up, getting out, and getting going, which is what we have to do. Get up, get out, get going, and do stuff. Get away from the things that are hurtful to you, that don't make your life wealthy. You're not doing anything. You're not using your brain or your body or your soul or your spirit. You're not being enriched. Enhance your life. Empower yourself. Get up, get out, get going. Be a kid. Always retain a microscopic molecule of space in your soul and life and body that allows you to be a kid, where no one, regardless of what they say, think, or do, can interfere with it, pollute it, or otherwise violate it and make you feel bad for having a good laugh and enjoying life, because not too many people do that. They get stuck out there, and they stuck in a rut in a life of misery and sorrow, and they just go into a deep depression and funk and want to get medication for it that we end up paying for, and it doesn't help them. It makes it worse. When, if they would do simple things like laugh and do things they like to do, they might be a better person. Like kids. Kids don't need another class in middle school, elementary school, even high school. They don't need to fill that day with another, not useless, but unnecessary class. Let them go out and burn energy. Run around, yell, scream, throw a ball, kick a ball, climb the jungle gym, climb on a rope, play foursquare, play dodgeball. Oh, you can't play dodgeball. The lawyers will come in. Forget it. Someone might get hurt. Can't do that. So there's enough other fun things to do out there. But let kids do that, and maybe, just maybe, all this poor behavior, which comes from poor role modeling, and over-medication of kids, especially in middle school, they line up for psychotropics. We're conditioning them for adulthood to be dependent on all these medicines that they don't really need if they would get up, get out, get going, and be allowed to be a kid, instead of just going into the so-called adult world and feeling the pressures, strains, frustrations, anxieties, and stresses that come with always trying to achieve, overachieve, multitask, and so forth. Remember, multitask is someone who does a lot of things. Unfortunately, they do a lot of things at the same time. Unfortunately, they don't do any of them very well. And that's a problem because they end up with mediocrity and they can't get into the schools they want. And, it's terrible. Well, you know what? That might not be the school for you. Go find the place for you. Find the professors who teach the things that you want to study. Take courses you like. You'll do well. Even if you're undeclared, you'll do well. And get involved in school, right? Actively. So anyway, we met Monroe Devereaux's wife out there. She's a sweet little old bugger from Colorado. And she has, I said, the pet ranch out there. And she told me a story that was quite shocking. They travel all over the country, and everywhere they go, they have to have licenses and permits and paperwork filled out well in advance so that they can bring their animals from state to state and display them and educate people, which is a wonderful thing. But the bureaucracy that they have to go through is not only time-consuming, it's costly. And what she said was just shocking. They have inspectors that go out that check out, making sure that she's doing the right thing. And she could be hit with up to a $50,000 fine. I hope you're listening out there in Colorado. It's supper time, but that's all right. A $50,000 fine if the water dish is dirty that the animals drink from which the animals drink. Let's use proper grammar. All men are created equal. I think it's all men are created equally. But anyway, a $50,000 fine up to, but she told me then rogue operators who abuse animals that live, who live in squalor, they get a warning. Or once the inspector is sniffed out coming in, they pack up shop and move to another town or another state, get out of town quickly. Sort of like the person or the folks out there violating the trust of us, the people, the government, by ripping them off and setting up shops, selling services or products illegally and immorally, and overcharging and not giving exact products, maybe counterfeit products, and then leaving. Because the reality is there's not enough people to go around to make sure the bad guys are taken care of, which is why corruption wins. It's terrible. What do you think of our food industry? You know, even Monsanto, with all the connections they have in the government and the leadership of our country. I don't know, man. Corn just doesn't say this tastes the same. And how it comes out, the same size, shape, and texture as it is when it goes in your mouth and down through your stomach is beyond me. So I don't know what corn is happening to it, but I'm sure a lot of other products are similarly affected. In fact, I think eventually all farmers are going to have to buy their seeds from one source. And if you get caught using natural products, you could face fines or shutdown, right? Not like a shutdown like the government shutting down where they get paid and we don't if you're a government employee, but shut down out of business as a farmer, right? Which is what is the backbone of our country are the farmers. Most of the ones in our neighborhood have turned into malls and shopping centers and townhouse developments and so forth. So our farm production is way down. Whether or not it's wholesome and natural, I don't know. I'm trusting in the environment out there to care for us. And what's going on now that the government inspectors are on furlough and not watching what's going on in the processing plants where meat and other like-kind products are processed and getting ready for market. I don't know. So anyway, it's a shame that she has to do that, but that's the way the world is. The good guys usually suffer. The good guys, we're paying for all the bad guys. And I just read a story today. I read last week, remember, a week or so ago, that to keep an inmate in jail in New York City costs upwards of $167,000 a year that we're paying for, about an average, I guess. And that seems like a lot of money. I just saw today an article that there's an execution scheduled in Florida, and they're using a new medicine, and they don't want to use it because it might inflict cruel and harmful misery and suffering to the person saying bye-bye. Well, okay, I understand all that, but is this a stand-up citizen? What did he do to deserve this kind of lethal injection cocktail, right? Oh, let's look down. He raped, murdered, and otherwise violated and abused a person, and that person suffered, I'm sure. So why are we housing this person, giving him HBO and everything else for the many years that he's probably been incarcerated and had appeals and appeals and appeals? Oh, it was an abduction, a kidnapping, rape, and murder of a woman down in Central Florida. It was terrible. So why should we care about his feelings? He doesn't have any. If he had feelings, he wouldn't have done what he did. So let him go. And if he suffers, so be it. He'll meet his maker, as we all will. And let's be fair. Where are victims' rights? You know, you go to college, kids go to college, and what do they study? The criminal justice system. Well, what happens to the people who are not who are the victims of the criminals? Where's their stance? A girl just got in trouble down in her school, I think it was a high school, because she took her friend home who had been to a party where there's underage drinking. Now, we know it's illegal, and I'm sure they're going to research this girl who reached out to her friend to help her. Maybe she was drinking too, and they're going to do all kinds of tests on her. But the reality is, she got punished, if you will, by the school for doing the right thing. You know, I always used to believe that no one went wrong doing the right thing, but as I get older, I turn into a cynic. You know, this girl's one example. The girl who increased her SAT scores several hundred points after scoring low and then taking a SAT practice course that she paid a lot of money for, I'm sure, as we did, to help our kids, to prepare them for the whacked out tests. And let's not get into the SAT or any organizations like that who are like bulletproof and you can't even find them, where they work and who they are and what they actually do, except make life miserable for people with their tests that they manage and control. And just like the guy, the football player I talked about a week or so ago, whose house was trashed by several hundred kids, and he tried to do the right thing by helping them, make it a learning experience rather than making it a criminal thing. And he was going to, I guess, foot the bill for the repairs that they did. And he turned around and got sued by the parents of the kids because they didn't want their college jeopardized, their choice of college, and they didn't want to be looked down upon for being terrible kids. I don't think there's bad kids. I think there's stupid and poor parenting. And this is a perfect example of it, as is the school district who was going after this girl for helping her friend. And that's sad. And that's awful. I'm writing a book about things I don't know. And guess what? It's endless. So it's never going to be published. But I have written three books, one about empowerment, one about boredom, and one about kids in play. So if you know anybody out there who's a publisher and is looking for some three good items to fill their portfolio, send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com, and maybe we can make good things happen for all of us, right? Because what I talk about on the show is a lot about what I've written in those three short books. They're not voluminous things, and it's not like the guy who ripped off Oprah with his million little pieces and all that stuff. This is plain and simple stuff that can help you become empowered by just doing good things for yourself. And you'll accomplish more than you ever thought possible. And you'll be wonderful. You'll feel good about yourself. And isn't that what life is all about? You know, if you have to lose weight, you'll do it. If you have to stop smoking, you'll do that. If you have to eat healthier, you'll do that. If you want to manage your time and organize your life and the world in which you live, you'll do that once you become empowered. So by listening to this show and enhancing your critical thinking by doing the silly brain busters in the beginning, and also by listening to the word that's coming from this end of the station, bbsradio.com, maybe you will start to do things for yourself and become independent and be able to do it for somebody else. So my book of endless things, yes, tonight's another chapter. So down south, we had a great time. The folks we visited are college kids, and they work for schools in the deep, deep, deep south, very poor and rural southern part of the country. And we went out to visit, and my wife and I were as welcome as if we were neighbors and family for four generations. They immediately knew who we were, mainly because of race. If you didn't know, my wife and I are Caucasian and white, as we like to say, and all the people we visited down there are black. And as soon as we went to the place of employment of the people we knew, half a dozen people came up and said, "Oh, we know who you are. Welcome to our town. Come sit with us." And we went to a football game, a high school football game. And we sat amongst the family that was just the beautiful people. There were three of seven sisters, all married, all working, all had husbands who were working, and they had multiple jobs because down there it's rough economically, and they're grateful and happy for what they get. But the seven sisters in the family had many of their children and grandchildren there, and we sat right in the middle of them and enjoyed a great football game, halftime show, and evening of socialization with folks who were right there with us. And we were as welcome as anybody who they had. And they loved the kids who we knew down there who were working. They all think that they have pretty white girl hair, right, which is fine. And we asked the girls who work down there, "Do you have any problems with racial?" "No, there's no problems like that. They're more concerned that I'm a girl doing things that historically a guy does for jobs. And that's okay because women are making inroads. Thank goodness for all the advancements women have made in the past two generations. Unfortunately, a lot of them are down the tubes. All you have to do is look out there and find that the Olympics eventually will have women's beach volleyball, which I think they do, right? And they'll have lingerie football. They'll probably have wrestling and one other that I can't think of right now. Probably pole dancing as Olympic sports, because that's who we are. That's how far the women's movement has taken back. But you know what? Bravo for the women, right? If they can make money at it and it's legit and it's legal, God bless them, go get it, right? Take advantage of a situation. And for all the guys who are watching it, most of them are micro and soft, as we talked about before. I think instead of using all the medications that are covered by insurance for men and until recently not for women, I think they should use yeast. Maybe they'll be able to get a rise out of the yeast like a good baker would. Unfortunately, you'll be well done after 4 hours, and I don't know how tall you'll be able to stand. But anyway, try yeast. It might solve a lot of your problems. Get rid of all the anger that's pent up for being micro and soft. Usually they're the bullies. The leaders of our country, the ones who drive the big giant SUVs and so forth. "Hey, look at me. I'm big on the outside and small on the inside, and I have to compensate by being a bully," and so forth. So we had a great trip in Alabama. The people were beautiful. We were invited to a few places. In fact, we went to a college, an all-black college, to visit, and unfortunately, the three museums on the college, because it has great historical event content, were closed. Why? The government shut down. And my wife was very disappointed because, and I was too, but she more, because she is a museum type person. And we enjoy learning about history up close and personal. We did take a few pictures of the outside, but we're deprived of the inside because the bullies and leaders down in D.C. Who are spending all the money that we give them and have unlimited access to it, can't agree. They can't play nice because they didn't do it when they were a kid. That fraternity of private school people, of country club people, of privileged people, because they can, because they write law and they make definition and get away with things that you and I can't do. They can't agree. So we were deprived of a great time at a wonderful university college in southern Alabama. And it's just a shame. We were delighted to walk into the dining hall there. And as soon as we walked in, again, we did stand out a little bit, but it was wonderful to be recognized and welcomed in the dining hall there, because the woman working there, "Oh, you must be the parents of..." And we said, "Yes, we are. How'd you know?" And we all laughed. And I went up to her and I said, "Listen, you can save an old man's life right now." She said, "How?" I said, "Find me the bathroom." She said, "It's right over there." And when we took care of business, we came out. It was about 4 o'clock. She said, "Dinner, the dining hall is open at 5. You come back for dinner. Eat here." And we did. And we had beautiful food. Fried pork chops, mashed potatoes, collard greens, cabbage stew, Oh, it was cooked with love. I can still feel it today in a good way. It was delicious. And we got a few people looking at us. A few people came up and asked us what we were doing there. And we told them, they said, that's great. We'll see you at the game tonight. That's what they told us. We'll see you at the game. If more people had experiences with other races and cultures and religions and nationalities and whatever you want to call it, there'd be a lot more peaceful harmony in the world. There wouldn't be as much hate and violence. Because if you hate somebody, you don't know what you're hating because you're ignorant. You hate something or someone because of what you learned or what you've been told or brainwashed with images all over the news and the media bombarding us with negativity all the time. Well, my wife and I had a pleasant, positive experience. It was wonderful. We can't wait to go back again. And those folks will welcome us even more. Right, we want to go back to see the kids down there again, and we want to meet and greet the people once again. It was just a tremendous experience. It had nothing to do with race. You know, we didn't see race. Unfortunately, most people don't realize that there is no black or white or yellow or red or whatever, brown, whatever color you want to give us. The color of the day is green. Of course, we're all green, and green is the color of money. And money talks and BS walks. So we all want money. We all need money. It's our form of trade and exchange. And we have to do all kinds of things to work for it, earn it, and retain it, and not give so much to people who don't know how to handle it, abuse it, steal it, violate it, and make us pay more with additional taxes and fees and things like that. We came to America many years ago, as we know, because of taxation without representation. Well, we have representation now, and look what it's got us. We got a healthcare system that's out of control, which can be cured with my system. Very simple, national healthcare. Give me an email at hamp73@gmail.com, and I'll send you the two-page outline of it. It's very simple. Maybe you can pass it on to people of influence who can do something with it. But we're all green. You know, and we forget that. We forget that. There's discrimination everywhere. My wife and I would love to go to a restaurant that costs $100 a person, but we can't. Not that we can't. I'd have to work a little bit more, but who wants to do that? So the way to keep us out, like a cover charge to keep the riffraff out, is to have very expensive products, especially in a restaurant. Remember, the more you pay, the less you get. You know, three scallops, a slice of carrot, and a zucchini all stacked neatly, with a little green on top to give it some nature and color and so forth, for $32.50 is actually not the way I want to eat, you know. But people look for that, and it's another form of discrimination that we have in our country. Last week's Brain Buster. Oh, my goodness, I just remembered. Last week's Brain Buster was, how much does a pirate pay to have his ears pierced? How much does a pirate pay to have his ears pierced? And, of course, we know it's a buccaneer. A buccaneer. So that's last week's Brain Buster. There is a military movement going on I've been reading about. They want to rebuild the military base in the Philippines. I was there at Clark Air Base many years ago, and the volcano erupted. Mount Pinatubo just destroyed everything in sight for miles around. And it just decimated the base. So now, strategically, the military says, we got to build it up, which means what? More taxpayer money going for a strategic location, which I do believe the Philippines is, because, you know, we do have enemies out there, and we have to protect ourselves. We need a defense. How they've survived for the past 10 or 15 years without it, I don't know. But if there was a sign-up call for guys to go back over there, guys my age, remember, I'm a little bit older than the average military person today. But guys my age will be lining up. Why? Great duty over there, great service, great people, beautiful country, availability of entertainment in the form of anything you want, legal and illegal, right? Liquor, alcohol, drugs. And for a few bucks, just a few bucks, some companionship for the night. A few hours, or even 10 minutes, depending on your micro and soft facilities. But the guys would line up for that, right? Every night, it was wonderful going downtown to have fun, to enjoy life, and to also learn about a culture, a people, and some of their history and tradition. I don't know what the guys in the Middle East are doing. I remember reading in the Stars and Stripes newspaper one time that the local business people, usually the girls who worked in the bars and restaurants during the evening, and some during the day, I guess, they stormed the gate, ready to knock the fence down because the commander put the downtown off limits. Too much shenanigans going on. We got to clean it up. Well, let me tell you, the girls and the mamasans over there, they made it known that they didn't like that. And the next day, the base was open, and the guys could go downtown to socialize and interact and pollinate and climax and have a good time, right? Without the help of yeast or any other products that we know of. Because those rumors aren't true about saltpeter. I don't even know what saltpeter is. But what are these guys doing in the Middle East? I don't know what they're doing over there. Because everything you see over there is either bombed away or dust or sand. Right? I don't know what they do. I did meet a guy, I might have mentioned it before, who came back and he said they had a book that was a sort of an adult-themed book, story, no pictures. And each page was selling for $10. And it went from person to person. I hope they wore gloves. I don't know. But that's what they have to do over there. We don't hear about Middle Eastern babies being born as we did with Amer European and Amer Asian kids, which for most, especially in Asia that I know, was a tragic time for those kids because they're ostracized by their community and left on the streets to face all the American tourist sickos who go over there to take advantage of children. And those guys should be put away too. It's awful. Terrible, terrible thing. But I don't know what they're doing in the Middle East for relief other than self-relief with Rosie the Palm, that little bald-headed devil there. The last bastion of trust, something that I hope never fails to deliver their greatness and their truth, is Consumer Reports. Because there's a plethora, how do you like that word? A plethora of cheating out there. Everywhere you go, cheating in sports, in business, in government. We just can't get away from the cheaters out there. And they're the ones that are getting away with everything because there's no oversight, there's no management, there's very little consequences. And if there are, I'd like to see what they are. What kind of one guy, I think some mayor just got 28 years. Jesse Jackson's kid just got put away. We'll see how long he serves out, whatever his sentence is, what percentage. And he's getting his pension and a disability automatically or mysteriously appeared as he was going off to a jail that we're paying for. No disrespect to the family and all, but let's be real. You know, you're taking our money. And you were inappropriate while you had our trust. So what the hell are we doing? How stupid are we? Careful what you ask for, people. You just might get it. We are dumb, ignorant, foolish, and we let them get away with it. So I say for the cheaters out there, whoever you are, when you get caught out there, guess what? There's no pensions. There's no buyouts. There's no golden parachutes. And all your contracts are null and void. You're going to be on your own. You'll have to be creative and come up with some disability. That like Jackson's kid, so you can support yourself and live in the lifestyle that you've maliciously become accustomed to by stealing all our money, right? It's not good. So, truth in Consumer Reports magazine. We don't go anywhere without it, and I hope you do. You use it as well because it's a valuable tool. Do you ever meet somebody and say and start talking and? Well, when I was in college, or back when I was in college, or when I was in school or something, most people react that way. And then the follow-up inquiries go, oh, yeah, where'd you go to school? Oh, what'd you study? Oh, you know, that kind of stuff. But there are two schools whose names come forth in the first sentence. It's never when I was in college, or when I was in school, or when I was here, or when I was there. It's when I was at Harvard, or back at Yale, that's what you hear, right? That's the way that's the way they deliver themselves and present themselves. And unfortunately, most of them end up in leadership positions down in that incestuous fraternity of thieves down in Washington, D.C. Let's call it like it is, right? And I think even at one of those colleges, a class that kids are taking last year. There was a cheating scandal, and the course they were taking had something to do with life in politics or something like that. So they were preparing on how to be deceitful and conniving and cheating while they were in college because they cheated on the final exam, right? Whether or not there were consequences or sanctions, who knows, right? But that's the way they start, and that's how they'll finish, and we put them in office, right? We put them in office, and it's not good. It's not a good thing. So let's do something with all the cheaters out there. Get them out of our way. They're taking up space. They're taking up our energy, and they're stealing our money, and we let them do it. How sad is that? How sad is that? When's the last time you had a good belly laugh? A real good belly laugh. You don't even know what you're laughing at. But you're laughing so hard, your stomach muscles hurt. There's tears coming out of your eyes. And there's no sound coming out of your mouth. Every once in a while, when the family gets together, and we had an instance of this over the weekend. We were visiting down south. I just got silly, as I'm known to do, and rambled on and rattled off. And the people we were with just... maybe I was something new they've never seen. We just were laughing at the dumbest, silliest, goofiest things out there. But we felt good at the end of the laugh. And it went on for minutes, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes. One thing after the other. One laugh led to another laugh. And it's contagious. Laughter is good. Laughter is healthy. Something must happen in your brain. Let's get some science people out here who know the brain and say, wow, why is laughter so good, right? Why is laughter so good? I don't know. I do know that it makes me feel good. And if it makes me feel good, I'm just a plain old common simple guy. It'll make you feel good too if you do it and come out of your rut. And laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, you're on your way. If you become empowered, if you can like who you look at when you see yourself when you're shaving or brushing your teeth or washing your face, if you can look into your eyes and like the person you see and be proud of what you do, you're on your way to becoming empowered. You won't need anything else or little of it to get you through. It'll be wonderful for yourself. But let's just do it. Become empowered. Like yourself. Laugh, laugh, laugh. But those belly laughs are good. They're rare. They're very rare. I just love it when it happens. And if it's planned, it won't happen. Has to be like spontaneous, just coming out of the blue. It's great. So we had a lot of cliches. And I'll go over them, transparency and the next level on the same page and step it up and amazing. I hate that damn amazing. Everything is amazing. And we want to add a few today. We have the ups. You have ramp up, dial up, and amp up, right? Mine is power up. That's not a cliche yet. I hope it becomes one soon. When you become empowered and spread the word to your personal and professional communities and tell them about Marty Ford, You About Ready on bbsradio.com, Tuesdays at 9:00 live Eastern time. Maybe you'll get ramped up. Maybe everybody will dial me up and I'll get amped up even more than I always am as we're coming to you live on bbsradio.com. One of the other ones this week is encrusted. When did food become encrusted? Who wants crusty old food? You know, you watch these crazy shows on TV where now they have kids running around with 10 seconds to go, kids. Get it done. Move your bodies. Get that chop, chop, chop. Cut, cut, cut. Put it, plate it, plate it, plate it. Boom. We got kids going nuts now. So they grow up. It's like the kids on drugs at school. If you start them when they're young, they grow up to be these insane people on TV showing us what they do and telling us how to do it and literally embarrassing themselves. It's so poorly presented. But we watch that crap. Why? I don't know. Why can't we condition people to become good people, to become healthy people, to become nurturing people, to be active, to be aware, to be empowered, instead of drones that just copy what they see? Because that's what the brainwashing folks want us to do. Remember, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. You know, what's the difference between a terrorist and a freedom fighter? It just depends on what side of the fence you're on. You know, the politicians do the same things in their arguments and discussions, as I said before, and they go out and socialize and have a good old time. And they always surface and resurface and resurface and recycle themselves in these jobs. They run for president one day. You don't see him for 6 months. And all of a sudden, he's secretary of this, secretary of that. There's a senator here, a governor there. He's doing this. They're doing that. She's over here. She's back in the forefront, in the limelight. Where the hell does all that money come from? I'd like to follow the paper trail that supports all these folks. They probably get government contracts, no bid contracts, through FedBizOps online, which you can look at and even bid on something yourself. Chances are, if you're not in the inside, you won't get anything. But you can see where money is awarded. And I'd like to see the paperwork, the corporate paperwork of all the officers and leaders of these companies, and find out how many of them are current and or former leaders in various positions of influence and power. It's like, whoa, they just recycle and support themselves. I don't know how they do it. And of course, the encrusted one, that drives me nuts on the food. And as I said before, these food shows, if you watch them and follow them, you're going to explode. You won't be empowered. You'll be embalmed because you're going to kill yourself. The two most dangerous white powdery substances, not Coke, not anything else, salt and pepper, loaded up with butter and lard and grease and oil, and fry it and stack it and stack it and carbohydrate it and everything else and shove it down your throat. I don't know what we're doing, but we're really going to self-destruct if we follow those people out there. Not only with the foods that they eat, but the manner in which they're presented and the gluttony that's out there where the food gets all over the face and the beard and the chin and the clothes. It's once as funny, most of the time it's disgusting. I hope to believe that people don't act and react like that and behave that way. I really think it's sad. But the latest one to come out in the world of cliches, adding to the list, that I have about 20 of them that I've talked about before. Here it is. It came out, all the politicians, when they were talking about invading Syria, which is out of the news right now, they must have had a miraculous recovery over there and solution, or else the attention has been given to the crisis here in America with Obamacare and the shutdown. But when Syria was in vogue and in our face and being brainwashed and everything, all you heard was boots on the ground, boots on the ground, boots on the ground. I'll tell you what, it's not their boots. No way in hell their boots ain't getting on the ground. They don't even wear boots unless they're going hunting out in Jackson Hole somewhere shooting people. They don't wear boots. They ain't made for walking. They're sitting nice and comfy telling us where to go, what to do, and no, not my kid. So their kid's boots ain't going to be on the ground either. So that was in vogue for a while, and I haven't heard it, but because of distractions from other big stories out there. The two biggest gangs in the world, representing colors of red and blue. No, it's not what you're thinking. No, it's not the street folks. It's the people in D.C., Republicans and Democrats, red and blue, you know, doing the same things that the street people do. In fact, I think if I had a choice, or if you had a choice, you might want to work for one of the so-called street communities, right? Because all you have to do is do what they say and behave properly and not get a little, not get too greedy, not do stupid things, follow their business plan, right? And sad part is you might have to do something you don't want to do, like the other leaders in the country in the red and the blue who send kids off to war. Again, not their kids. I don't think anyone's born who wants to get up and wake up and say, okay, I just want to go out and blow up things and kill things. We do have that. We have been brainwashed over the years in doing so, especially through video games. Not that kids are going to do that. Video games are cool. I'm down with it. I'm open to it. We'll roll with it. There's another. We don't roll like that. Who said that? Oh, that Wiener guy, who, again, is probably a member of the micro and soft crowd because he has to put his private stuff on display. But I remember a couple months ago when he was running for office, he said, oh, we don't roll like that, trying to be hip and down with the people in the hood on the streets. That's stupid, idiot. Anyway, and there's others like them. So I'd rather work for people who, if you need something, you'll get it. And they're not going to short you out, shortchange you, unless you deserve it. And if you're stupid, like this guy that they want to execute, you know, let him go. He didn't do anything good for this world. He didn't contribute to society. He was a taker. He took a life. What's going on? Wake up, folks. We got to have justice for all of us. We have to have health care for all of us. We have to have truth for all of us. We have to have opportunities for all of us, not just a select few. We have to have a life. We have to become empowered. We have to have fun. We have to get up, get out, get going. We have to power up your power, because the power is in you. This is Marty Ford on BBSRadio.com. Tune in next Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, for another adventure in the wonderful world of Marty's Mayhem. Power up your power, because the power is in you.